We were singing about ancient words just earlier, and I was just off the top of my head thinking about the P66, I believe, is the oldest manuscript we have of the New Testament, which is dated in the mid-second century. It's a few verses of 1 John. And in the Old Testament, to my knowledge, the oldest text we have that was just recently dug up are silver scrolls, and they have the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6 written on them, and they date back to 7 centuries before Christ. The text we want to look at today dates 1,000 years before Christ, and it's Psalm 23. King David wrote these words. He did it as an elderly man, looking back on his life when he was a young shepherd boy sitting on the hills and reflecting upon the metaphor and the similarities and the parallels between a shepherd and the sheep and Christ and the believer. In his case, an Old Testament believer. In our case, a New Testament believer. Psalm 23, most of you could probably quote that verse, but we're just going to look, we're going to work through that text the next few Sundays, but we're just going to look at a first couple verses here. I'm using the help of Philip Keller. Philip Keller wrote a book on this psalm because he actually is a shepherd and was in the shepherding business, even though he was a Western culture shepherd and not one from the East. He still can draw a lot of parallels, and he also tried to assimilate his understanding from an Eastern shepherd thinking and practice as well. I couldn't find my book. I had a new copy of that somewhere. I hadn't looked at it in a few years, so I began rummaging through my old bookshelves where I have some books, and I found an old copy. And in fact, the old copy that I found of Philip inscribed on the front page has a lady's name on it by the name of Charlotte Adkins. And I'm looking out here in the audience, and there's only a few of you that remember her. The congregation has changed considerably, even since I got here 15 and a half years ago. It's amazing how many new folks are here. Most of you, I would say 95% of you that are here today, didn't know Charlotte. That just tells you something, because she was here when I got here for a year or two, and then she passed on to go be with the Lord. So let's look at this psalm and see if we can't learn some things about our own lives today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We just want to stop right there. That's what we want to think about. The Lord is my shepherd. We know Jesus said 1,000 years later in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And he contrasted that, a good shepherd, with a bad shepherd, a hireling. Someone who doesn't own the sheep, is just hired out to take care of somebody else's sheep. A bad shepherd, in this case, doesn't care about the sheep because he doesn't own them. He's just looking for his paycheck. And Jesus contrasted himself with that kind of shepherd and saying, no, I'm a good shepherd, and I own the sheep, and I love the sheep, and I care for them, and I watch over them. Now, when you're thinking about the Lord being the good shepherd, the thing you want to think about is, the thing you want to make sure is that he's your shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The question is he your shepherd? That wasn't true when you were born into this world, because you grew up with the sin of Adam, and you transgressed, you broke God's law. And so you were separated from God. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, a Jewish man, a devout Jewish man, a man who believed in God, went to church every day, and read the Bible every day. He said, unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was not his shepherd until he became born again. Nothing's changed since then. And so, to make Jesus your shepherd, you must have a time and a place where you receive him into your life and say, Lord, forgive me for being a sinner. I believe that you are God, that you died on the cross, you were buried, you rose again from the grave, you're alive today, and you're the only Savior, you're the only deliverer, you're the only way, truth and life, that I can have access to God the Father, have eternal life, have forgiveness. There's no other way. I can't be good enough. I can't join 50 churches in order to become a believer, or in order to become a sheep, one of your fold, in order for you to become my shepherd. I must put my trust in you and you alone. You want to make sure that he's your shepherd. Maybe there's somebody here today that's not sure. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's don't wait another second. Let's give that opportunity right now. If you're not sure, if you're not absolutely, positively, 100% certain that Jesus Christ has come into your life and he's your shepherd, he's your Savior, then pray and ask him to come in right now, and you can be. Pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I'm so sorry and ashamed. I turn away from my sins right now, and I turn to you as my Savior and Lord. I believe that you are God and died on the cross for me, that you were buried and that you're alive today. And so right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Be my shepherd. And take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you just pray that prayer? If there's somebody that just asked the Lord to come into their life, God just made you a sheep. You are no longer a goat. You see, the Bible also gives the metaphor of goats. And it said there's two kinds of people in the world. There are sheep and there are goats. Friday morning, and I was taking Hudson with me, and we came across Charlie Fuller's property, and he's got some goats. And Hudson had never seen goats before. And so he went over to the fence line, and he was just looking at them, and the goats were looking at him. It was interesting just to watch them. And Mr. Fuller has two horses, and one of the horses came over, and he tried to lick Hudson through the fence, but Hudson would have none of it. He just wasn't interested, a little scary to him. But the Lord wants to make goats into sheep. And we praise the Lord if you just asked him to come into your life. Now, as I was thinking about this song, the Bible is talking about the Lord is our shepherd, and we've established that he is our shepherd. And then it says, and I shall not want. And people misunderstand that. They think, oh, when the Lord's my shepherd, I'll never have any other wants. I'll never have any other needs. Everything will be bliss and wonderful. I'll never have any more problems. Now, that's not what that verse is saying. When the verse says, I shall not want, what it means is the sheep will be so satisfied with the shepherd's management in his or her life that they will never have a need for anything else in life. They will be totally content with whatever the shepherd does for them in their life, because they know he's a good shepherd and he's always doing what's in his or her best interest. Does that make sense? Now, as I was thinking about sheep, I was thinking about different kinds of sheep. And I began to think about what you look like as sheep. So I had some pictures. Now, isn't that cute? It's a little baby sheep. And you just want to, you know, if he was here this morning, you'd just want to cuddle him and or her and just love on her and love on him and just get so close and pet him. And he'd go something like this. Right? And he's just so cute. Isn't that what happens, though? In fact, maybe somebody had happened to him this morning. When you first come into the kingdom of God and become a sheep, you're like a little baby sheep, aren't you? And your heart is so tender and everything is brand new to you. And you're so curious and you're looking around at everything because, boy, everything just looks so like, wow. And that's what happens when you become a brand new Christian. All the songs are brand new to you. Everybody else knows them. But you don't know them. You're just starting to learn them. And it's so fun because everybody else likes you. Now, that'll change as time goes on. But when you first get into the fold, everybody's happy to see you. And that's the way it is. And it's a wonderful thing to become a child of God, to become a sheep, and like a little child, like a little baby lamb. And oh, the shepherd loves those little baby lambs. And so I thought about it some more. Next picture. There we go. Now, who does that resemble? That's an Allison sheep. And she's not here today. She doesn't feel very good. But I've been a good husband. I rubbed her feet with lotion last night. I rubbed her temple this morning with her headache. I unloaded the dishwasher, Gunner. Loaded the dishwasher, took out the trash, took the washer, unloaded it, and loaded the dryer. Cleaned up the kitchen and set all the coffee pot up just right. So all she has to do is go in there and press the button. Oh. But that's an Allison sheep. Now that Allison sheep, she's got a little smile on her face. And she's so cute. And she's got a little bell around her little neck. And you can hear that Allison sheep come. When she's coming down the hall, you can hear her because that little bell's going jingle, jingle. And you know what? It doesn't make you want to run. You're glad that that little sheep's coming because you know about that little sheep. That little sheep has grown up from a little baby. Now it's a little older. And that little sheep has discovered some talents and some gifts and some opportunities that God has given her. And she said, you know what? I want to put those into practice in the church. I want to be used by the Lord to help other sheep, to be a blessing to other sheep. And that's a good example. That's something God wants to develop in all our lives. He really wants to make all of us like a little Allison sheep. And then the next little sheep we have, that's a bighorn sheep. Now, this sheep, this bighorn, he's been around a while. Matter of fact, he's been around a long time. And not a baby sheep there. Oh, look at those muscles. Look at him. Hey, he's got such balance as he is on that incline, even in the snow. I mean, he doesn't look like he's going anywhere. And man, look at his focus. He's so focused, so majestic. You know who I thought about? When that sheep, I thought about Mr. Carl Ray. That guy's going to be 89 years old in October. And he's still doing the deal. He's still out there in the front telling everybody, howdy, we're so glad you're here. And he really means it. And boy, you'd have to tie him down not to come to church on Sunday. I thought about Carl Ray. I thought about people like him. And we have other people like him. What I want to say is that's what God wants to do in your life. That's where you want to go. You see, oh, Carl, you know, he's probably had lots of opportunities just to quit and give up and say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore because Susie doesn't like me or Joey doesn't like me or, you know, this got this hurt in my family and why did this happen and all. He probably had lots of stuff like that happen. But he didn't let it deter him. He said, no, God's got a work mission for me. He's got work for me to do. He's got a purpose. God's counting on me. God doesn't want me to be a stumbling block. He wants me to be a stepping stone. Amen. And that, when people hang in there long enough with the Lord, this is what he does. Majestic, focused, balanced, strong. God can do that in your life. He can do it in mine. Wonderful, wonderful picture. What's our next picture? Quite different. Quite different. This little lamb has not been taken care of. You can see that it's a little malnourished. Philip Keller was talking about the fact that he had his sheep and he loved his sheep. He's taking care of them. He's going to make sure they got all the stuff. But the neighbor next door, oh boy. He didn't love his sheep. They were always wanting for everything that they needed. They had muddy water. They didn't have the right kind of shelter from the weather or from the hot sun. They never had green pasture. It was all brown, ugly grass, and their faces were always diseased from all the insects. And constantly, they'd be standing at the fence, wishing they could get into Philip's pasture. And he would see them and he would feel so sorry for them. It's a terrible thing. You know, there's actually two kinds of shepherds in this world. There's not just two kinds of people, goats and sheep. There's two kinds of shepherds. One of them's the good shepherd and one of them's the hireling. The hireling is the devil. And that's what he does for his kind. He doesn't take care of them. He doesn't love them. And we need to see that our Lord is a good shepherd. Now, this little sheep obviously he found the right answer. He got some help. And so I'll tell you what happened. Do you know what that sheep went and did? He went and joined a Baptist church. That's a Baptist sheep right there. How can you tell? That reminded me of a lot of you. Actually, all of us, right? Because we like to fellowship. Fellowship, you know, is not just about eating. But it's about, eating or, working on the relationships we have with each other. And boy, when we enjoy each other's company, man, it just makes us fat, makes us full, satisfies us, gives us, boy, look at all that wool. Huh? Isn't that beautiful? All that wool. It's just awesome. And the Lord does this for us. What's our next little picture? How about that, huh? That little doggy, he said, shepherd needs my help. That little lamb could not drink from that bottle by himself. He needed help. And we have people like that in our church. They're trying to help the other little lambs and others who need help. And sometimes that help comes in the form of prayers, praying for people. You know, as I'm walking around town, you know, my walking thing, I walk across different people's homes. City Hall, I'm praying. When I walk by City Hall, I say lots of prayers over there. Oh, but prayer is a way we help people. Encouragement, teaching a Bible study class, you know, all kinds of things. That's a good thing. What's our next picture? Now, that's not a sheep. That's Hudson. He saw that other dog and he said, I want equal time. So I put him in there. Well, that's Hudson right there. Completely worthless, but he's a good dog. Ooh, wow. Now, Philip Keller said there are four things that have to be solved and taken care of in a sheep's life before a sheep will eat green pasture. Remember, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, that's interesting, he makes me to lie down, to rest, to be at rest, and eat green pasture. Now, when we think about making us, it doesn't mean he's going to get you in a headlock and push you down to the ground and force you to eat. What it means is he's going to make the environment in your life in such a way that you're going to be at rest and peace so that you can eat. Because without that, a sheep, a real live sheep, he's not going to eat. He has to feel completely at rest. He has to feel completely secure, or he's not going to eat. And if sheep don't eat, that's not good. Boy, the shepherd wants all his sheep to be eating from the green pasture. So there are four things that he's got to take care of. The first thing he's got to take care of is their fear. Is sheep scare easily? And does anybody know about the IQ of sheep? Really, really smart, aren't they? And of course, God says we're like sheep. One time, Mr. Keller said that a jackrabbit showed up. And he had 200 sheep at that time, and they were scared to death and stampeded off and were afraid of a jackrabbit. Another time a lady showed up with a chihuahua and they all took off. It's so easy for sheep to become afraid. Some things they should be afraid of, though, like wolves. Now, my brother-in-law, Doug, he has two huskies. Now, a husky is kind of a, you know, he's a derivative of a full-blooded wolf, you know? But now, of course, huskies are domesticated. He had two of them, and he lives up by Bernie, and they got out from his gated or his fenced-off property, and they got into the neighbor's yard, and they tore up two of his goats, killed them, tore them to pieces. Domesticated huskies. What happened? If he'd have just had one husky, it would have been no problem. But two of them, that sense of being a pack overcame them, and they couldn't help themselves. And for those two goats, it cost Doug $1,000. Well, one night, he's just learning how to be a shepherd, you know, at this time. One night, a cougar where he lived was stalking the sheep. And so, boy, they were restless, going back and forth. And the next morning, he found nine of his mama sheep that were about to deliver all dead on the ground. Not because the cougar had got a hold of them, just from the fear of the cougar coming in and getting them. They were so frantic. And so what did he do? Well, the next night he got his dog and he got his 303 and he sat out there in the next few nights with his sheep, and he noticed something. he noticed what calmed the sheep down was the presence of the shepherd. And that's what the Lord does for us. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 14, don't let your heart be troubled. He told his disciples that because they were very troubled, and they were very troubled in chapter 13 because Jesus said, you're not going to see me anymore. You're not going to be able to touch me anymore. You're not going to be able to audibly hear me anymore because I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't come. And they were so troubled over that. Boy, when he was there, they didn't have any trouble. Jesus can solve any problem that we have. He's right here with us. But things were going to change, Philip says. When the sheep could see me, oh man. They calmed down. Their fears were gone. And isn't this what the Lord wants us to experience? His presence in our lives to calm his fear. Remember in 1 John it says, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love is not a thing or a principle. Perfect love is a person. Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said the last thing he told the disciples in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always. We must focus on the fact that the Lord is with us, and therefore we have no fear of our enemies. Well, what's our next picture? Let me read this to you. I read that the mosquitoes have been so bad this summer, some South Florida communities are looking to combat them with drones. The man says they're going to need a bigger plane. And then our next little picture. Are you sure you don't want to use my bug spray? Here's another problem with sheep. Insects. The flies and the gnats and the wobbles. Oh, they just want to tear up the sheep's face. Just work in there and tear. And boy, the shepherd has got to help his sheep. Now, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to dip them. But another thing he's going to do, and this never happened over here for his neighbor's sheep, their faces were just eaten up. Why? Because he was like a hireling. He didn't care about the sheep. But Philip would take oil and salve. And not only would he dip them, but he would rub that into their faces so that they could have peace from all those insects, all those bugs. The Lord speaks a lot about oil in the scripture, and we know that Samuel used oil to anoint Saul for his purpose. We know that he later used oil to anoint David for his purpose as being the king over Judah. The oil in the scripture speaks a lot about this calling that God has in our life, this designation that he has in our life. But the oil also speaks about the Holy Spirit. It's a representation of the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, God tells us that the Scripture is like the oil of the Holy Spirit, that God uses the Scriptures to anoint us so that we are at peace from the irritants and the frustrations of this life. Remember, Jesus said, if you're burdened, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. He said that in his word. Remember Jesus on the Sea of Galilee when the storm rose up, he stood up and said, peace be still. This is what God wants to do for his sheep. He loves us so much. He takes the salve of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. That's why it's so important that you absorb your life with the Word of God. It's like salve. It's like salve. It's like oil. And it's going to help you. It's the best bug spray around. What's our next picture? Remember Tom Hanks when he was marooned on that desert island? And boy, he needed some encouragement, didn't he? And so he finally built a fire. And you can see how excited he is. Man, this really perked him up, right? But do you remember what he had to do before the fire came around? Man, he had to, by manual labor, he was trying, remember? He was trying to create the friction to produce that fire. And remember what he did to his hands? He just tore them all up. But you know what? I have a feeling he would have told us it was worth it once he got the fire. Does it look like it was worth it? It sure does. Here's another problem with sheep. They won't lay down and eat if there's friction in the group of sheep, in the herd of sheep. Did you know that sheep have friction among themselves? Now, with chickens, we call it the pecking order. With cows, we call it the horning order. But with sheep, we call it the butting order. The males, the older males, will go and butt the younger males because they want to seek dominance, and usually do. Well, this causes a friction in all the rest of the sheep to get all stirred up. And the shepherd has got to calm all that down before the sheep are going to eat. And Philip, he's on the learning curve here. He noticed how to settle all that down. And again, guess what? When he walked out there in the sheep, as soon as the sheep saw him, the butting stopped. Now, did you know we have butting in the church today? There's conflict sometimes. You would think that Christians sometimes think there's competition with each other, that we're competing with each other. We are not. That's the devil's lie. Now, the Bible does speak about competition. Who are we competing with? God has driven a stake down for every single one of you. And that stake represents your potential. Now there's your competition with yourself. Boy, the folks at Corinth didn't understand that very well. Even the folks in the epistle of James, you remember he said, when you come into church, don't sit the rich people over here and the poor people down there in the foyer. That's not, no, we're all coming to the cross the same. We're not, there's none of this hierarchy. There's none of this, there's no male or female or slave or free or rich or poor. There's none of that. We all come to the cross the same way. We're not in competition with each other anymore in the church, but we do compete. Do you want the Lord to help you reach the potential that he designed you for? And you know, that does take friction. But we know that if we allow the Lord through his word, through the salve, through his word, and through the presence of himself in our lives, that he can create fire in our lives. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, the Bible says, your word is like a fire to me. We want to let the Lord do that. What's our next little picture? Last little problem they have to overcome. And that is, their fear of being hungry and not being fed. Now, the thing that Philip brought out is, even where he was living, is that he worked hard to produce green pasture for his, and pastures, plural, for his sheep. Isn't that a beautiful picture, by the way? I mean, wow, that is just like, man, breathtaking. But he said, you know, where David lived in Palestine, man, I mean, you know, you have to, as a shepherd, you have to really work at it. I mean, the uprooting rocks and roots and all this kind of stuff to get pastures for your sheep to eat green food on, green grass. He said it was hard work. He said, but that's the kind of shepherd, a good shepherd, that's what he does. Of course, his neighbor didn't do that at all. But he said, you've got to provide this for your sheep so they'll lie down and eat. Now, as we close, there's another picture here I want to show you. And you might think that's the picture of the sun. It's not. That is a picture of Venus. So it's a planet. That planet, on the surface, the average surface temperature of that planet is 846 degrees. And, of course, the atmosphere is completely toxic. Now, in the late 1980s, we sent a probe to land on the surface of Venus so they could get a radio picture, 3D contour of what it looked like, which is no big deal for us to look at. But it was interesting that they designed the probe to land on the surface of Venus to last 30 minutes before it would be incinerated. Guess what? It lasted a whole hour before it finally just incinerated into flames. How long do you think you would last on Venus? Is anybody glad here today that you weren't born on Venus? By the way, if you look out into the universe, you will see complete hostility. You will see one hostile universe. Either you're going to burn up, or you're going to freeze to death, or you're not going to be able to breathe for a nanosecond, or you're going to get so much radiation that it's just rampant out there, or the gravity's just going to rip you apart. I mean, it is a hostile, it looks so beautiful out there, but it is not where you want to be, except for one little place. In fact, if you took the best telescope that we had and you put it on the nearest star on Alpha Centauri and you look back at the Earth, you wouldn't be able to see our planet. The entire universe is completely hostile and inhospitable to man except for one little speck. And that's this speck right here. The next speck, there we go. That's a real picture right there from our astronauts as they were orbiting the moon. Now that's a picture. A blue marble in a hostile universe. Now I want to ask you something. The next time you get afraid about not eating, I want you to think about this picture. And I got a question for you. As you look at this picture, does God know how to make a green pasture or what? There's only one thing left for you to do, because He solved all the problems. Lie down and do what? Start eating. Let's pray. Is there anything that the Lord touched upon in your life this morning? Fear of your enemies, friction, the irritants of life, the lack of meeting your needs. May you let the salve and the oil and the word and the presence of the Lord become real to you this morning.